Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, folks, let's talk about drone wars. Now, this is an amazing development in military capability and strategy. Drone is the nickname given to the UAVs, that's unmanned aerial vehicles, originally used for surveillance, by the way. But recently, about 1994, I guess, they were converted to be used as a tactical weapon. Now, the Predator is the first and most well-known drone. It incorporates features facilitating both surveillance and target attack missions. And the latest drone is called the Reaper. This Reaper can haul 4 missiles and 2 bombs. Whoa. The missiles used in these drones are called Hellfire missiles. Keep that in mind. The kind you see launched from Apache helicopters in movies. Now, depending on which drone is being deployed, these unmanned aerial vehicles can fly as high as 50,000 feet, some as fast as 400 KTAS. That's a knot's true airspeed, and that would be about 460 miles per hour. One of these babies can stay up for up to 80 hours. Now, of course, the faster, higher flying models can't stay up as long as the smaller ones, but the heaviest drone can stay in flight for almost 20 hours. And the smallest Predator flies at about 25,000 feet and flies at about 138 miles per hour and can go 40 hours without refueling. This one carries 4 Hellfire missiles, and the larger ones carry a variety of weapons packages, including bombs, as I pointed out. Now, these were deployed for military targeting missions by Bush, and now Obama has greatly expanded their use for military targeting. In fact, as you know, Obama has a kill list. And these are people he has pre-approved as targets for drones. Ostensibly, these are really bad guys, like high-level Al-Qaeda operatives, and so far they've been overseas where they were killed. So it hasn't been given a lot of notice by Americans here. However, when Obama put Anwar al-Awlaki on the kill list, at least a few eyebrows were raised. And that is because al-Awlaki is an American citizen, or was. Of course, we know he was well known for his efforts to recruit radical Muslims or Muslim sympathizers to be militarized jihad-headed enemies of the state. In fact, this imam was very open and out about his anti-American activities. So the raised eyebrows just sort of twitched and the heads, you know, nodded about a bit in some little bit of confusion. And then settled into something of a quizzical expression. But the fact that this man was an American citizen did at least begin to raise questions about how far will Obama go in the use of drones against people on his kill list. Now, you see, Anwar al-Awlaki was targeted, attacked, and finally killed by a drone in Yemen. Then, about 2 weeks later, al-Awlaki's 16-year-old son was tracked, targeted, and then killed by a drone. Now, both eyebrows were raised in that quizzical expression that progressives get when they don't know exactly what to say about something. That kind of bothers them down inside a little bit. You see, when Bush was in office, it was very easy. All of this would have raised more than eyebrows. It would have certainly elicited a painful howl from the left and calls for impeachment, or even worse, some of the love and peace liberals almost certainly would have been calling for his assassination. I'm not exaggerating. Remember Malloy and what about 4 or 5 others in the liberal community who openly called for President Bush's assassination? And we're not even taking into consideration here the number of strong insinuations that came from the MSM during his tenure. Real nice people, these liberals. You know, so when one of their own, Obama, actually targets a 16-year-old American kid, they do get a little bit perplexed. Not even bringing up the whole screaming fits that went on over extraordinary rendition during Bush's era. Remember that? The liberals were beside themselves over that bit of a bit about taking terrorist suspects to other countries for interrogation. And of course, their whole problem with Gitmo, a problem that suddenly disappeared when Obama came in and continued using Gitmo. The hypocrisy is unreal. So I understand that for liberals, it is a bit confusing sometimes. You know, they get mixed signals. They're all stirred up to be hotly irate against something when a conservative does it, but then are accused of doing it. But then they are signaled to be quiet when a fellow liberal actually does what they falsely accuse the conservative of wanting to do. It's just amazing. So you understand that Obama put an American citizen on his kill list without the due process guaranteed to all Americans by the Constitution. He authorized a hit on this American citizen by a drone attack. And then, 2 weeks later, he authorized a drone attack on this man's 16-year-old son. No trial, no jury. Obama acting as judge and jury, and I guess we'll call him the executive executioner-in-chief. And the liberals were silent as, silent as a basenjee. A basenjee, I think that's how you pronounce that dog that's nicknamed the barkless dog. Now, the dog can't make some noise, but it's a barkless dog. You see, anyway, of course, Obama can get away with it because everyone agrees Al-Awlaki was a terrorist and a jihad-headed creep who was waging war against the United States and most likely gave aid and assistance to at least some of the 9/11 murderers. And besides, this attack took place in Yemen. I mean, hey, who cares about what happens in Yemen? You know what I mean? So we are all good with this. Bravo! Obama bagged another baddie. Am I glad Anwar al-Awlaki and his teenage son was sent to meet up with Allah and the rest of the jihadist murderers in hell? Well, you know, actually, no. My heart breaks for these deluded people. But the question before us right now is this. Did Anwar al-Awlaki and his son face justice, or did they get something else from Obama or from Obama's America? Now, I want you to think about this, folks, because now Obama wants to expand on the use of drones against people he decides are terrorists to include Americans right here in the homeland. Which is the reason, no doubt, that the Department of Homeland Security has recently acquired some of these drones. Quote, DHS will start testing the use of drones over U.S. airways, end quote. So take that along with their recent acquisition of 700,000 AR-15s and the millions of rounds of ammunition they're stockpiling. Now remember this. I want you to remember what Obama said during his first run for the presidency.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Remember, NBC reported on a 16-page memo that, quote, provides new details about the legal reasoning behind one of the Obama administration's most secretive and controversial policies, its dramatically increased use of drone strikes against al-Qaeda suspects abroad, including those aimed at American citizens, such as the September 2011 strike in Yemen that killed alleged al-Qaeda operatives Anwar al-Awlaki and Samir Khan. Both were U.S. citizens who had never been indicted by the U.S. government nor charged with any crimes, end quote. So I would, if you read the whole article, I think you would agree this is what I would refer to as a one-eyebrow-raised NBC story on this topic. John Brennan, this is the guy Obama wants to put over the CIA, last year said that he believed drone attacks against American citizens was, quote, consistent with the inherent right of self-defense, end quote. Now, if only they were as interested in an American's personal right of self-defense. But anyway, at the Northwestern University Law School in March, Holder, and that's Obama's man leading the Department of Justice, he endorsed the use of, quote, lethal force, end quote, against Americans without due process of law if, I'll just read an excerpt from his speech, quote, Holder said, let me be clear, an operation using lethal force in a foreign country targeted against the U.S. citizen who is a senior operational leader of al-Qaeda or associated forces, and who is actively engaged in planning to kill Americans, would be lawful at least in the following circumstances. The U.S. government has determined, after a thorough and careful review, that the individual poses an imminent threat of violent attack against the United States. Second, capture is not feasible. And third, the operation would be conducted in a manner consistent with applicable law of war principles. End quote. The applicable law of war principles, I'm not sure what he means by that, but we'll speculate on that another time. What made the capture of al-Awlaki unfeasible is the question. And was he engaged in an active plan to attack the United States? Yemen is friendly to us. Why couldn't they go in there and grab this guy? Or what about his 16-year-old son? What, we don't have resources capable of capturing these guys? You need to think about this. Besides, doesn't the U.S. government determine the guilt or innocence of an individual accused of crimes by a court of law? Who decides what names end up on Obama's kill list? I mean, it's called Obama's kill list for a reason, eh? Because we all generally agree with the characterization of al-Awlaki as a terrorist. Well, then we're quiet about the fact that the Constitution was shredded, virtually turned inside out to carry out this execution. A few eyebrows are raised, but what have we opened the door to here? Was the execution of al-Awlaki an act of justice, or was it an act of government vigilantism? Do we have rogue vigilantes in control of the government now with power to kill people? A memo from Holder's Justice Department is arguing that Obama can order a kill on Americans if, quote, an informed, high-level official of the U.S. government may determine that the targeted American has been recently involved in activities posing a threat of a violent attack, and there is no evidence suggesting that he has renounced or abandoned such activities, end quote. Now, you better wake up. The Obama administration is claiming they have the right to try, convict, and execute Americans, so long as a, quote, high-level government official, end quote, decides that that American poses a threat to national security. Hey, do you think Obama would send the drones after Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, you know, his buds, his weatherman domestic terrorist buddies, you know, back when they were blowing up government buildings and encouraging kids to off the pig? These are the people in control of government now. You better wake up. They can send out the drones if the government decides an attempt to capture such a person, quote, would pose an undue risk to U.S. personnel, end quote. Now, what does that mean? Are you paying attention to this? Well, you might be surprised to discover that even the ACLU is raising their eyebrows, both of them, over this one, and, quote, suing to obtain administration memos about the targeted killing of Americans, end quote. Hold on through the break. When I get back, I'll give you some insight into the sort of criteria the administration might use to decide who gets put on the kill list. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a light-on listener, reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way. Have you ever complained against the White House and the House of Congress for despising our laws, showing contempt for our Constitution, and turning their back on our founding values and beliefs? Does it seem the Lord has forsaken the people's houses? And by the way, how's your house doing? Perhaps there is another house you should think about, the house of God, the church, which according to Jesus is the pillar and ground of the truth. He told us not to forsake the house of God. Have you? How long has it been since your family gathered with God's people in His house? God can fix the White House and the House of Congress and your house too. But remember, He begins with His own house. Every great revival has begun with a return to the house of God. God will return to our houses when we return to His. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us in the house of God this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the Lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty, and perhaps even our lives. Drone wars. In a paper prepared by the Justice Department, Holder claims Obama has the power to send drones after American citizens, even here on our soil now, and that without benefit of trial, if that American is deemed by, quote, a high-level government official, end quote, to be a threat to national security. This report is called a white paper. Now, a white paper is jargon for, quote, an authoritative report or guide, end quote, that addresses a problem or communicates a decision that has been made on a subject. So, according to this white paper, from Holder's office, if a high-level government official, and you can't get higher than the president, decides an American citizen is a threat to national security, well, he can order a drone strike to take him out. No arrest, no Miranda, no trial by jury of his peers. Obama has virtually declared himself to be the executioner-in-chief. Even the ACLU is concerned about this development. An attorney for the ACLU spoke out. He said the white paper memo basically, quote, argues that the government has the right to carry out the extrajudicial killing of an American citizen, end quote. With regard to some of the limitations stipulated in the memo, the attorney for the ACLU says, quote, it recognizes some limits on the authority it sets out, but the limits are elastic and vaguely defined, and it's easy to see how they could be manipulated, end quote. Manipulated? Consider this new study that was funded by the Department of Homeland Security. Quote, a new study funded by the Department of Homeland Security characterizes Americans who are suspicious of centralized federal authority and reverent of individual liberty as extreme right-wing terrorists, end quote. Well, to be fair, the study profiles potential terrorists as persons who are suspicious of centralized federal authority and reverent of individual liberty. This study is called Hot Spots of Terrorism and Other Crimes in the United States, and it was put together by the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Response to Terrorism. This was done at the University of Maryland, and the Department of Homeland Security funded the study with $12 million of your tax dollars. The study virtually ignores Islamic terrorism. I mean, it's mentioned, that's about it. In the profiling exercise, they say little about jihad-headed anti-American ranting imams. Instead, the study focuses on, quote, Americans who hold beliefs shared by the vast majority of conservatives and libertarians and puts them in the context of radical extremism, end quote. According to this Department of Homeland Security-funded study, the profile of a potential terrorist includes the following characteristics. Are you ready? Okay, Americans who believe their way of life is under attack. Americans who are fiercely nationalistic, as opposed, say, to being universal or international in their orientation. People who consider themselves anti-global. Americans who are suspicious of centralized federal authority. Well, you know, now that would include all of our founders. You know? Americans who are reverent of individual liberty. Ditto on the founders' comment. And people who believe in conspiracy theories that involve grave threat to national sovereignty and our personal liberty, end quote. Oh, and looky here. They also list people opposed to abortion as an indicator of possible terrorist tendencies. Let's talk about profiling, shall we? Are you paying attention to the criteria the government is developing for deciding who is a terrorist? Pay attention to who they're looking at closely, huh? Perhaps you have heard about the now infamous 2009 MIAC report. That's the Missouri Information Analysis Center report. Quote, it framed Ron Paul supporters, libertarians, people who display bumper stickers, people who own gold, even people who fly the U.S. flag as potential terrorists, end quote. Huh. Yeah, and the FBI's Communities Against Terrorism program adds bulk food purchasing and using cash to pay for coffee to those things that signal the possible activity of a terrorist. Can you believe this? I mean, here's the point. Are you really comfortable with the government taking the law into their own hands like this? Now, that might seem weird to you. I mean, the idea of the government taking the law into their own hands. But listen, that is what is going on here. So you've been conditioned to accept this. You need to wake up and think about the way this country was originally founded and organized. The people to whom you have given control of your government are now taking government from your hands and taking it to themselves. I mean, they are no longer under we the people, but rather we the people are being drawn under their power to rule us at their whim. America, please wake up. You are about to lose both liberty and security. I mean, when you trade liberty for security, you lose both. Now, a white paper, as I mentioned, is sort of a declaration from the government about its thinking on a subject. It's a statement of government policy on a question. However, it is also intended to, quote, test the climate of public opinion regarding a controversial policy issue, end quote. And this whole thing's not being shouted out like it ought to be, but it has been released, so much so that NBC has been commenting on it. And my advice is sit down right now and write a letter to your representatives begging them to look closely at this white paper. Insist they inform you where they stand on this issue and why. And tell them how what you think about it. Engage your representatives in this conversation about this and do it now. If you sit on your hands, this is going to become de facto law of the land. Now, I don't agree with the ACLU on many things, but I sure do agree with them on this one. We are losing our constitutional protections if the president or any, quote, high-level government official, quote, end quote, can personally decide an American citizen poses a security risk and then send a drone out to kill him or her. We have lost our liberty and our security. We have become a veritable dictatorship, giving the power of death to high-level government officials to act on their own whim. And just what? Just because you trust them? Are you out of your mind? What is happening in America? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is sending a clear message to this nation if we just listen to it. He is delivering us into the power of unreasonable and wicked men. And a Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert! Quote, when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn, end quote. Our leaders are bought by the bribes, the gifts, if you will, of special interest groups. Obama has openly said he owes the unions, and his actions prove he intends to pay his debt to that special interest group, even at the expense of the rest of the nation. Quote, the king, or the ruler, by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it, end quote. The people are corrupt. They believe lies that, quote, cause them to err from the words of knowledge, end quote. That's all in the Bible, by the way. Haven't you noticed that in those communities where the dominant controlling philosophy is that Antichrist godless philosophy that characterizes much of American politics today and seems to be particularly identified with a neo-Democrat party, these are invariably the places of the most violent crime or the highest violent crime rates. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen the maps where the Democratic Party strongholds are colored in blue and the GOP strongholds are colored in red. The blue and red maps, they call them. If you've ever studied one of these, you probably noticed that virtually all of the major densely populated areas are blue, while the rural areas are mostly red. Now, this is just a curiosity to me, but did you know the Bible warns against crowded cities? Yeah, in Isaiah 5, verse 8, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth, end quote. Now, think about that. According to a survey that included 42,855 interviews, now that's a huge sampling in any survey, and according to the survey, it was discovered that the cities that were the least Bible-oriented or had the fewest number of Bible-minded people were mostly found in the blue sections of the map. And by those who are not Bible-minded, we mean those who were less likely to read their Bibles or to claim to have any strong convictions about its truthfulness and value as a moral guide. And this shouldn't be surprising. I mean, remember the neo-Dem convention last year, how they prided themselves on driving God off their platform and reaffirming their commitment to the anti-biblical issue of abortion and gaily bragging about their support for homosexual rights. I mean, at one point, they literally voted God off their platform, and only because the leadership recognized that that would be problematic for them in the election cycle, only because of that did they back off from it. But I heard the crowd during that debate. I watched this, and listen, that crowd was unhappy that the leadership backed off that vote. They were far and away in support of removing the word God from their party platform. And I think it's fair to say that does pretty well characterize the Democratic Party as it stands today. So, you know, it makes sense that the blue states would tend to be less Bible-minded than the red states. Now, go dig up some violent crime stats. And you'll notice that most of the high violent crime areas in America are colored blue. Quote, the majority of the cities in their survey that ranked in the lowest number of Bible-minded people also happen to be some of the cities with the higher than average violent crime rates and who voted for Obama in the last two elections, end quote. You see, Obama knows his base. He understands who is voting for him. And he's the leader of that group. You know, America's no longer a Christian nation, and keeps failing to remember that the word God is in the Declaration of Independence, although the phonies come along lately and tried to... anyway, it's clear evidence of the truth that the nation who forgets God is cast off into hell, which is Psalm 9, verse 17. It's also evidence of what is happening in America today. Now, I should clarify that I'm not talking about Democrat versus Republican. There are many Democrats who are Bible-minded, and there are many Republicans who are certainly not Bible-minded. The point is, however, that the general philosophy of life held by Democrats, the basic value system that characterizes the modern-day neo-Dems, is more conformable to and more compatible with a non-Bible-minded approach to life. On the other hand, those with a Bible-minded approach to life generally gravitate toward the more conservative groups, and this is mostly because of the social conscience issues such as abortion and gay marriage, although not exclusively for that reason. Now, the interesting thing here is that in communities that are made up of mostly non-Bible-minded people, the violent crime rate tends to be above the national average, while the reverse is true in those communities where most of the people are Bible-minded. And now that's true in certain segments of our society as well. Take, for example, the education establishment in America. It's mostly liberal. It's not exclusively liberal, I know, but the vast majority of those involved in the education community in this country track liberal. And we are all aware of how welcome the Bible and Bible-minded people are in that society. So what does this mean? Well, it goes to the support of something I've said to you hundreds of times in as many different ways, but lately more directly and more forcefully, because I'm becoming concerned that if we don't turn quickly, we're not going to have time to turn the ship of state fast enough to avoid the fall into hell God promised that nation that forgets him. It's becoming increasingly clear that the last refuge for God-fearing traditional American patriots is the church house, and even that has to be qualified. I mean, many churches are what I call smiley-faced churches. Obviously, I have no desire to be a gloomy-faced church or a dour-faced church. We're a happy people at Lighthouse. Or an angry-faced church. We're not angry. But we are told that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we are grieving. And you know, it's interesting, you cannot find any verse where we are told that Jesus laughed. You might assume it, but while the scriptures testify that he wept, we never read that he laughed. We also read the call from God to, quote, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness, end quote, James 4:9. I mean, it's true that laughter does good like a medicine, but even medicine can be overused. In fact, some have become addicted to this medication like a dope head on prescription drugs. Is this a time for our churches to be smiley face? With no rebuke against the evils of our generation, no reproof exposing the wicked in the light of God's truth, no call to holiness, purity, godliness, separation, no message to the people from God regarding the pressing issues of our day? Has God nothing to say about all this? You might think that if you go to some of these churches, so long as God's people continue to support the smiley face approach, the salesman pitch approach, the Madison Avenue marketing approach to reach their community, they will not impact that community in a way that will lead to national repentance and a return to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call and let me know that they are on, or that you see that they are on. The number is 1-888-770-8000. That is 1-888-770-8000. I always enjoy hearing from my listeners. If you want me to call you back, let me know. You can also go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. One word, lowercase, you know the drill. Thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button, follow the prompts, and this is a great way for my podcasters to make contact with the Brain Masseur, although all of you can reach me through email, and I respond to all my email communication. So call me today or write me today. Lights on or lights off. I want to hear from you. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Need a brain massage? We've got one waiting for you right now. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. Ask 100 churchgoers what connects them to their church and you'll get many different answers. Most, however, would not mention truth as their number one concern. Why? For many, church is about opportunities for socializing or family tradition, and the issue of truth is taken for granted. There's something wrong when a nation boasts 78% of the population is born again, with many of the largest churches in history, and yet we are in a moral freefall and Christianity is increasingly held in contempt. Think about it. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.